Today we're going to continue our series we started last week on the God of Hope. Last week we talked about filling your hope tank. Remember that? How important it was that when you don't have hope, that you see yourself differently. Let me say this in a different way. If you don't have hope and your hope tank's getting close to being empty, it allows you to perceive things differently. Things are worse when you don't have hope. Pain is going to last forever when you don't have hope. These tears are never going to stop when you don't have hope. And so it's important that we make sure that we are filling our hope tank and keeping it there, because it really affects every part of our life. As we talked about last week, you can go almost 40 days without food, 3 days without water, 8 minutes without air, but not a second without hope. You got to have hope in your life. And so it's important. I love the text that we read last week. Let's look at it again today in 1 Peter. Verse 3 of chapter 1 of Peter says, "Praise be to God, our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope." Let's say it together. Living hope. Living hope. And I really think throughout this series, this becomes the promise, the catch word I want you to really hear throughout this series is, he is our living hope. And hope is not dead in your life. It's living. I don't care how small you may think it is. I don't care if you feel like it's been asleep a long time. Let me here to tell you, that is only sleeping. That if you're a Christian today, your hope is alive. And so you just got to begin to speak to it and say, "God, I thank you. You are the living hope. My hope is alive in my life." So even though it may feel like hope is dead, it may feel like hope is dead in your situation, if you're a Christian today, the good news is this: it's never dead in your life. It's a living hope that we have. Now today we're going to talk about stories of hope. I've invited some of our staff to join us today, and I've asked them to share out of their own life stories of hope. I know that for many of you, you're going to relate to some of these stories. For many of you, you're going to hear some of their own struggle and pain. I can tell you, it's very raw this morning. It can be very raw. It can be emotional. Some of you may be crying. Some of you may be laughing. But whatever it is today, we just want the Holy Spirit just to use these stories to speak encouragement into your life, and also to speak hope and let you see. You know, it's one thing to get up and to share a message like we did last week, which really encourages you, but oftentimes it's also beneficial that we hear people who are going through things. And I know it may be a shocker to many of you, but there's nobody on this stage that's perfect. I know how hard it is for you to hear. It may be a shocker, but I can tell you that we've all gone through things personally in our lives, and we go through things, and it's not easy. And many times it's about finding that hope and persevering and letting hope come alive. I've asked Brian, and Brian and his wife have done a great job as our preschool directors and also serve in many other areas of the church to support to our staff. And Brian is one of the principals over in Carthage as well, and does a great job in our community. But many of you may not know that Brian lost his mother before he was ever two years old, lost his mother, and then here recently, about a year ago, lost his father. And so I've asked Brian to kind of just share, maybe just to us. I know many people during this time of year, it can be really hard to go through the holiday season when you've lost somebody. Many of you here, you've lost somebody. Someone close to you has died. And boy, it makes it even magnified during the holiday season when you really miss them. And it can be a really painful thing. And so I've asked Brian just to kind of share out of his own story and share how hope was not lost through that time of mourning and through times of struggle, but yet hope has always been there. Brian, tell us a little bit of your story.
All right. Well, I normally just like to tell jokes and say ha-ha and then walk on. I don't really like to get to the emotional part of it, but this is going to be a little bit different for me today. When I was a year and a half old, I lost my mother, which I didn't, of course, at that point didn't know, but she was killed by a drunk driver on her way home from work. The bigger story isn't really as much my story as probably is my dad's story. And so he marries his high school sweetheart, and they have their first child, and he has Down syndrome. And 6 years later, things get worse, and they have me. When I was born, I had the umbilical cord wrapped around my neck, apparently, and so I wasn't breathing. And so they had to take me to Kansas City to try to keep me alive, I guess. And so, and then I'm a year and a half years old, and on my mom's way home from work, she's hit and killed. And so here's my dad's situation. Married high school sweetheart, has a six-year-old with Down syndrome, and then has a real challenging kid. So so his life right there at that point completely turned upside down. And so, you know, going through those kind of situations, and as I grew up thinking back of you know, I struggled with it being so unfair, but just how unfair it was that I was, you know, what happened? I mean, I was a baby. Why would you take my mom away from me whenever I'm just a child? And then, you know, and then so, you know, fortunately God put a wonderful person who I knew as my mother in our lives, and a complete blessing, and you know, took care of us, and who knows where we would end up. You know, had my dad been the only one in charge, probably would have been pretty scary. So you know, those kind of stories are kind of tough. A year ago I did lose my dad. And that's really tough. We've been together a long time. And so, you know, this time of year I know is hard on a lot of people. This was also, November was also the month that my mom died. It's just a lot of, it's a really tough season. And I know I'm not the only one, and there's a lot of people going through a lot of things that are a lot worse, but it certainly is a struggle, and keeping, you know, hope in the forefront is really important.
Ryan, what would you say to us? You know, I know many people, when someone dies in the family, and I have a friend who suffers, a close relative who dies, especially, and then people have good intentions, but they come up and like, how are you? You know, or they say things to you like, you know, I think we said something this morning in the first service, you know, they say things like, you know, don't forget, it always gets darkest before the light comes out again, or something like that. And, you know, and even though people have good intentions, they really are like, no, I'm hurting right now. I'm really going through the pain. And so how can we help send hope to people who maybe are dealing with the grieving process right now? How can we just be a friend to them or be support to them? Because I know people have good intentions. They want to help, but we don't always know the right things to say to somebody who's in the middle of a grieving time.
Yeah, that's always, you know, you're right. They mean well, but, you know, when they tell you, you know, you can only see the stars when it's dark out, you just want to punch them in the face. And like, yeah. So, you know, I do think it's tough. I think it's, you know, everybody kind of handles things a little bit differently. But I think, you know, helping them kind of just deal, asking, you know, how you doing? How are things going? I know this is a tough time. You know, do you want to talk about it? That kind of thing. Most of the time, they would say no, or I would anyway. But I think one of the big things is just remembering that, you know, having hope is in order to kind of build hope on yourself, is to give hope to others, and finding some way that you can give out and serve some other way and be a light or something that can help other people. I think that's really important. I think in my work, as I work with kids, you know, I think that's really important in the work that I do in the schools, and is just try to provide that hope. And I know that it certainly feeds me and builds me up and keeps that at the forefront. But, you know, losing hope, and I've been there too, and I've been in the situations where it's dark, and, you know, you feel like everything's against you, everything's falling in on you. It doesn't matter which way you step, you just always seem to be falling in the wrong direction. And those are really tough times. And sometimes, you know, I really feel like the devil just kind of continues to pound on that. You know, as soon as it starts getting dark, it starts really, it's so hard, because you almost just want to live in that darkness and want to live in the self-pity and the feel sorry for me. And I don't want to do the work to get out of it. But, you know, it's something that, you know, if you don't have the hope in God, I don't know how people go through the world and the world that we live in today. I have no idea how they make it without having some sort of hope in God.
And I think that you really touched on something so key, because it's something that I've given that advice, you know, Brian, to many people I know that are dealing with grief in their life, severe grief, you know, and especially severe depression as well. is that, you know, get the attention off yourself. Just, I know you're hurting, but just go out and serve somebody else. Do something kind for somebody else. Go out, help somebody else. And through your struggle, through your tears, as you do that, it's like as you help somebody else, God is restoring that hope back to your life, restoring that back to your life. It doesn't mean you won't grieve, and grieving is a very much healthy part. It's how God designed us. God designed us to grieve. Do you know that? That's how we heal. Our spirits heal, and that's how God uses that. He uses grief as a way for us to heal and go through this part of coming to reality. We've lost somebody close to us, so we grieve the loss of that. And that's a very natural thing. But the good news is this, he says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 4, he said, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. He didn't say, blessed are those who you'll never mourn, right? No. He said, you're going to mourn. So we're all going to have seasons of mourning. We're all going to have seasons of losing people close to us. And sometimes it happens when we least expect it, and you didn't expect it. Some of you are dealing with the loss of maybe a father or mother. Some of you a loss of a child. And man, it's really, really difficult because we never planned on that. And so how do you get through that, finding hope again? I will tell you that there is hope. There is hope, and it only comes through Jesus Christ. It only comes through hope, and he'll fill your hope again and through your tears. It doesn't mean the tears won't be there. It doesn't mean that you won't miss them. It doesn't mean you won't have times of crying. But through the tears, knowing that the Holy Spirit will restore hope again to your life, he will allow those tears not to be in vain, but you don't stay there. He allows those tears to work and help somebody else who maybe has gone through that, to help somebody else who needs that encouragement. And so today, I just want to pray for you. Anybody here say, Pastor, you're really speaking to me because I've lost someone close to me recently, and this holiday season really can be a tough. Anybody here, raise your hand, but you, yeah, lots of people in the room. Yeah, let's do this. Let's bow our heads. I want to pray for you. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you don't leave us alone. That hope is restored to our life. And I just pray over those who are maybe just having a difficult time during this season of saying it's a holiday season. I really miss them at Thanksgiving. I really miss them at Christmas. And I just am really struggling, Pastor. And today, it's all right to say that, but I'm here to tell you the God of hope is going to fill you today. I'm praying right now that God will allow you to smile and enjoy. You don't have to bury your head in the sand like it's not happening, but you can look around, and through your tears, you can help somebody else. And through your tears, you can pray for somebody else. And as you're doing it, I believe right now the Holy Spirit is going to begin to comfort you and fill your heart with comfort and allow you to smile again and allow you to laugh again and allow you to help somebody else. And I just pray, Father, as you are comforting those who are mourning, God, we are not alone. We are not alone, but God, you are walking with us. God, you are leading us. You said you would never leave us, never, ever leave us. So God, through even this difficult season, I pray to Father, you are walking close to those who are mourning and hurting. Thank you, Father, that you have not left us. Let me say together, amen. Amen. I've asked our youth pastors, Pastor Jeff and Kristen, to share they have a story of hope, how God restores marriages. And I know your marriage really went through a really difficult season when we didn't even know if it was going to make it or not. But God restored hope, and God has done just a miracle in your marriage. I would love for you to share from your story today. I know there's people here in this room who are going through the same thing, who feel like maybe my marriage is, I don't know if my marriage is going to make it. My marriage is on this last breath. If it's even, I don't think it's even breathing. It's hanging on by a thread. And I'm here today. I believe God's going to use you guys to speak through your testimony, hope into those situations.
Right. God of hope. You know, when PG asked me to get up here and share some of our story, I was so excited. If you know me, I'm very energetic. I get into worship. And the reason you see me acting crazy like that and so excited and on fire is because I can really look back and see all that God has done in my life, and not just in my life, but in my husband's life as well. Last week's message really touched me. I even told PG, I said, this was my favorite message, and I just love the joy and the energy behind it. But Sunday night, I just got to thinking, and I thought, you know, I'm all pumped up, but I know there's so many in that room that they can't connect with it. They don't know what that feels like. They've never experienced God like that. And I'm here to tell you that you're not alone. I have been there. I have been in that dark room. I have been isolated from the world. And just to kind of let you know a little backstory of us, a year and a half ago, I was going to file for divorce. I had a four-month-old. I had a two-year-old. And honestly, life just hit me. Life's messy. Life is hard. And I know you guys see a smile on my face, but that was a choice. And what I want to get across is marriage is hard and life is hard, but it's working through past those emotions and making the choice. Love is a choice. A lot of forgiveness has happened in our lives and in our marriage and redemption, but it took true surrender to God to allow him to move in our lives and have vulnerability and transparency with each other and learn how to communicate with each other. So I want to encourage any of you in your marriage, in your relationships, whatever it might be, don't give up and keep pressing in. And honestly, find a safe place. Find someone that you can talk to. I've been very fortunate to have someone that I can call and just cry to and vent to, because that's what we need. Life is about relationship, and God heals through relationships. I'm going to hand it over to Jeffrey.
When PG asked me, I wanted to research the word hope. I didn't have a very clear understanding of what that really meant for me. And when I looked up the definition, it just simply says a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. And what I realized looking back was that I lived a very negative life. I wasn't very hopeful for anything good. If I was hopeful, I still had those doubts in the back of my mind it was going to go bad. My motto was, you know, hope for the best, expect the worst. And I did a lot more expecting for the worst than I did hoping for the best. And growing up, grew up a pastor's kid. From the time I was 4 days old, I was in church. Had all these expectations heaped on me. And as an early teen, made some decisions, and my life just started spiraling out of control. It wasn't until a year and a half ago, she mentioned a year and a half ago, it was actually April 20th, 2016 to be exact, when really my world came crashing down. And for the first 5 years of our relationship, first 2 years of our marriage, I'd been unfaithful. Had been having an affair for the first 2 years of our marriage. Everything came crashing down April 20th. Thought I was losing my wife, my kids. Really had no hope at that time. And I remember PG and Miss Mel sitting in my living room. And PG asking me one question. And he just said, are you going to fight for your family, or are you going to turn around and walk out? Well, I'm not going to turn around and walk out. I've always been a fighter, so I'm going to fight. And over the last year and a half, I've truly been able to find hope in my God. Because if it wasn't for my God, I can tell you right now, I'd be a single guy. Probably drunk majority of the time unless I had my kids. Living a life that nobody wants to live and nobody needs to live. But because of my God, I still have my marriage. I still have a wife that wakes up every day and tells me that she loves me. And it's truly only because of God and the God of true hope that we get to sit up here and serve as your guys' youth pastors. And I've said it a couple times, but the first time PG and Miss Mel sat in my living room was the night that all of that came out, and I thought my world was crashing down. And the second time they laid foot in my living room and were sitting there, they were asking us to be your youth pastors. That was all in a little over a year. So my word of encouragement is just to fight. When you feel like your marriage is on the rocks, when you feel like there's no end in sight, you have to make a decision every day to get up, put one foot in front of the other, and keep fighting. Because at the end of the day, nobody else is going to fight for your marriage for you. It's got to come down to you and your wife, you and your husband. And when you said your vows on your wedding day, you didn't just say them to each other, but you said them before God. So are you going to stick to it?
You know, I love you. You can give a hand. Appreciate it being open this morning. And, you know, many of you see Krista and you're like, oh, she's the nicest person I've ever met. You know, she's such a gentle spirit. But I can tell you that it was a fight. It was a fight. It was a fight. She had a fight through, allow herself to walk in forgiveness and fight for her family. And Jeff had a fight through all the things. And it was not easy, but, you know, they allowed the God of hope to fill them. And time after time, when they hit a wall or frustration, I could just see God pouring a new level of hope to you, a new level of hope to you. And you didn't quit. You didn't quit. You know, you allow God not only to heal and restore, but then to fill you with hope again. And I think that, you know, your story is so, so real to many people that are sitting out here today, because I know there's many people who are right. They can say, that's my story. That's our story. That's our story. Yeah, they can relate to that. But I'm here to tell you that it doesn't have to be the end of your story. That God can restore hope back to your marriage, hope back to your family. It's not dead. And God can do many things that we can't think are impossible. But with God, they're possible. And so there is hope. And so today, I want you to, just to bow your heads. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands because I don't want to single anybody out to embarrass you. But I'm going to allow Pastor Jeff and Kristen just to pray over people today, maybe over the wives, over the husbands, over their families, who feel like they're wanting to give up, who feel like they're beyond hope. My marriage is beyond hope. It's beyond trying. I don't think I could ever forgive. I don't think I could ever walk in a new season. Can you pray over them and just let God restore hope to their marriage?
Lord God, we just come to you this morning, Father, with open hearts. Lord, right now in this room, I just feel such a heaviness, and I don't know who it's for, but God, I just ask that you come so close to them and let them know that you're grieving with them. You're not just this higher God if they're just looking down on them, but you're crying with them, you're grieving with them, but you are seeking redemption for their life. I speak hope into the hearts of your people. I speak love. I speak pure joy, which then brings energy and excitement back into marriages, back into families, Lord God. Lord, I love you. I love all that you are. Thank you for being the dad that you are to not only me, but my family here in this room. Lord, I'm excited for all that you're going to do in marriages, but I ask that more than that, you soften the hearts of your people to where there can be a vulnerability and a transparency with just life, and that you place the right people in these people's corners so that lives can change and marriages can change, Lord. But more than that, you reveal hope to your people.
And I just want to pray for just husbands in particular right now, that it's up to us to fight, God. It's up to us to wake up every day and fight for our marriage and fight for our family. It's like I said earlier, nobody else is going to do it for us. But that I believe our God is a God of second chances. And sometimes even thirds if we need it, God. But that every day we just wake up with a new sense of hope, with a renewed sense of hope, yes, with a renewed sense of determination to fight. I just thank you in advance for that. I thank you for any marriages, any families that can be mended through our struggle, but most importantly, through our triumph, God. And that all my stupidity and that one night wasn't the end of our story, God, but it was the beginning of a new one. And I thank you for that. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Many of you know Pastor Mike, and some of you may know his story, and some of you may not know his story. I've known Pastor Mike, who is now our outreach pastor, him and his wife, Brittany. And when I was a youth pastor several years ago, we had several years ago. Thank you for pointing that out. Yeah, several years ago, I was a youth pastor, and I had an outreach director and a pastor as well, J.D. Buckridge, and we started a busing kids in and out from the Boys and Girls Club. We'd go send vans over to the Boys and Girls Club at the time. They were meeting there after school, and then we'd pick a van, send a van over, and bring them to our youth group on Wednesday nights and then take them back. And one of the first students we picked up was this junior high kid with the biggest smile you'd ever seen. He'd walk in and light the room up with a smile, and he was such a magnetic, energetic, and just a great personality. He ended up filling up several vans by himself because everybody wanted to go. He's like, we're all going. They all followed. And so he's always been an outreach pastor before you ever knew it. He was doing that. And, but when we took him home and dropped him back off, we found out that there was more to the story. And we found out that, you know, Mike had a lot of challenges at home, and being raised without a father, being raised in some difficult circumstances, had some educational differences, difficulties in your life as well, learning disabilities, just a lot of things. If anybody had the cards stacked against him, Mike really had a lot of things not going his way. But yet he was coming with a smile, and he had that early on. And I've asked Pastor Mike just to share some of his own personal testimony.
First off, thank you, Pastor Gene, for giving me the opportunity, because freedom happens when we share our stories. Right. And so I'm going to share mine a little bit different than kind of tie it all up. But I grew up in a place where it was hard to be a kid, exposed to a cold, dark world real quick. You see, it would have been easy for most to give up and quit. Wait, who am I kidding? For a while, I did. And on top of all this, I was the poor kid. So depression and doubt followed. On the inside, I felt carved out and hollowed, thinking what disses will I face from those rich kids tomorrow. I wallowed behind my pain and my strife, but I learned at a young age to play things off like everything was all right. I learned to go to school, get made fun of, come home with constant bruises because I was always in fights. Although I hated school, I didn't always want to come home at night. You see, my mom's boyfriend was either drunk or high as a kite, sniffing lines of the white. And I always knew when he needed another fix because he would destroy her mentally, physically, emotionally. She'd take hits. All six of her kids had witnessed this. And I was tired of being silent, so my voice resulted in violence. Till one day, a man named JD seen so much hope in a young kid like me. He helped me to see that I was fighting a pattern much bigger than me. I was fighting the curses of my family tree, and reversing the pattern was the key. And from that moment on, I knew that it had to start with me. But as I got older, I started struggling a little bit more with my identity. You see, I never had a dad around. I mean, he'd call me every once in a while, and the $20 bill he sent me on my birthday would make any kid smile. And that was just enough to keep me in denial of just how bad I really wanted my dad. I taught myself how to shave, to drive, to work hard and provide. Who else was going to help my single mom with six kids pay the bills? Not a man that wasn't around. It was up to big brothers and I. So growing up, it wasn't always easy, but we always made the best of it. And I think it helped having brothers and sisters to embrace the struggle with. I remember several times of either my mom getting locked up for stealing chicken from the grocery store so we could have a meal to eat at night, or me waking up at 5:30 in the morning to go to the YMCA to take a warm shower before school just so I wouldn't stink. But even through it all, there was still smiles, and there was still laughter, and there was still joy. And I just remember embracing the struggle. And I started going to the Boys and Girls Club, where we met JD, and he started inviting us to church, and we started going to Pastor Gene's youth group, and just one thing after another started coming into place. And I was known in my family as the little church boy or the Jesus boy, and but I knew that what I was feeling was real. So I just kept pressing on. And of course, whenever, as I got older, no clue on how to do things, but I just knew I wanted to do things differently. So I graduated high school, went to college. There was a bunch of age gaps gaps in my education because we moved around a lot. And so I missed a lot. So I had to take a lot of different, special education classes. And so by the time I actually got to high school, I had no clue what I was doing. And I ended up dropping out first semester. I'd go back, and, then I really found, I was like, man, this just isn't for me. I was intimidated by all of the work, and felt like I was less adequate, like I didn't have what it took. So I started serving at a local restaurant where I met one of my good friends, Johnny. And we just started just kind of embracing the struggle together. We kind of came from the same background. We hit it off real good, got married, had no idea what
my wife and I were doing, but like I said, we wanted to do things differently. So we got married, and a few years later, little did I know that we were going to be fostering some kids. Miss Mel actually came up to us. She was like, "Oh, there's these two boys and you guys would be perfect for them." You know how she talks. And so I'm like, "Man, forget that." And then I started, and my wife and I struggled to have kids. So, I mean, it was a complete God thing. I mean, everything just lined up. And my wife was like, "No, we need to do this." And so, which I didn't tell this part of the story in first service, but I remember walking down the hallway at our two-bedroom duplex. My wife had just started in-home daycare, and for some reason the lights was on in that room, and I went and go lock up all the house and turn off the lights, and I just really strongly felt the Holy Spirit's like, "Why aren't you doing what I've asked you to do?" So I called the case manager the next day, and he's in tears. He said, "We just had a case goal meeting. We're actually about to have to split these two kids up into group homes because we didn't know where we were going to put them. Are you sure you want to do this?" So, man, I remember the very first visit. I remember the very first visit, and we met Alice and Tristan, and Tristan crawled up into my lap. And all I could think of was hope. We went back. We called them. We was like, "Yeah, just bring them over." So they came over. We got their rooms ready. And it was no looking back ever since then. A lot of ups, downs, a lot of struggles. But here I am, a kid who never had a dad. God called me to be a dad to those who didn't have one. Here I am, someone who's blown it time and time again in my own life, in my own marriage, not knowing, getting to go to sleep next to my wife. Some people know grace. I get to hold grace every night before I go to sleep. Here I am, graduated with special education classes. And I own my own business because I took a leap of faith. And so, in the midst of it all, you don't know why you're struggling or why you're going through what you're going through. But I'm telling you, on the other side of your struggle, you get to look somebody in the face and you get to be hope to somebody. And every time I hear the word hope, I associate it with light. And so if we're going to be the light to people, we have to be able to shine hope, because you have no idea what someone is going through, what someone's battling, how somebody may have came up, or what they, the lack thereof. But I'm telling you, fight and shine hope, because it's all we have at the end of the day, is instilling hope into people.
What a beautiful story, Pastor Mike, of hope. Isn't that great? I love hearing a story. Yeah, you can give my hands, man. You know, you feel like, are we ever going to have children? And then 2 years later, you got three kids.
You've like adopted the Ferrari of families.
That's right. You know, you tell a story. I was thinking as you were telling the story about your mom being locked up because she couldn't, you know, she's trying to find food, you know, trying to get chickens and things just to feed you guys. And now you're smokers every week full of food. You're feeding other people and getting paid to do it.
Yeah. Amen.
This man, you never had this guy's food. He's legit, man. He's Clark's Catering. A little plug in there for you. Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm telling you, you won't regret it. We use them all the time. Awesome. But I love hearing the story of hope, you know, and not giving up. Not giving up. And, you know, there's people here, you've had things in your life, and maybe your story is similar, maybe it's a little bit different, but you can relate, saying, "Man, I remember, you know, am I going to let, you know, this difficult situation stop me from pursuing my dream? Am I going to let this stop me from pursuing what God has for my life and stop believing?" You know, a long time ago, Mike, you could have given up and just felt sorry for yourself and say, "I'm just going to be a victim to where my circumstances landed me." But instead, you always fought through that. You always fought through that, and you had a dream, and maybe you didn't know how to get there, and maybe you struggled to get there, but you got there because you didn't lose hope. You didn't lose hope. You're always fighting, always persevering. And I think that's such an important message to people who are losing hope because of their situation. hope. Well, this happened to me, so I can't. This is stacked against me, or this is what I was born into, or this is what happened, you know. And we just lose hope. But it doesn't have to be the end of your story. God wants to give you new hope.
Amen.
God wants you to persevere. Hope. He's the God of hope, and you receive a full dose of living hope.
Amen.
You're bigger than a divorce.
Come on.
You're bigger than a mistake. You're bigger than a situation that's holding you down. You're bigger than the medical advice that someone's giving you. I'm telling you, you're bigger than that. You're bigger than something bad or tragic has happened in your life. You're bigger than that. God restores hope. Don't give up hope. I'm going to ask Pastor Mike to pray over us today. I know many of you feel like you're there. I've lost hope. I've lost hope. I've lost hope. And today I believe God's speaking new stories of hope in your life. Pray over us, Pastor Mike.
Father God, I thank you so much, God, for being a God of hope, God, to restore. God, I pray right now, Lord Jesus, for anybody in this room, any heart, Lord Jesus, in this room, God, that is just broken from a circumstance, God. I pray, Lord Jesus, that they would just rise above that circumstance, that they would fight, and that they would cling on to the hope, Lord Jesus, which will spark a light to their faith, Lord Jesus, and would spark a light to the love that you have for them, God, and it would be a snowball effect in the positive direction, God. I pray that we would not settle. God, I pray that we would be a church to encourage each other, to love each other, to build each other up, and to shine hope. God, I pray, Lord Jesus, that walls would be knocked down and broken right now in this room, Father God. I pray, Lord Jesus, right now, God, for each and every heart that feels like they are going through poverty, Lord Jesus, but I pray, Lord Jesus, that they would have power over that poverty because they have power in you, God. They are not their situation or their circumstance, Lord Jesus. I pray that they would feel your love today, God. Set a fire, Father
yes,
God.
I want you to stand on your feet this morning. Can I ask you, if any part of any of these stories touched your life today, I want you to come down to the front. Just close out the song. I won't keep you long, but I just want to pray over you and close out the song. If any part of their stories touches your life, person, let them know, say, hey, you touched me today. Your story encouraged me today. Your story brought hope to my life today. Can you step out and step to the front and say yes? Press in, guys, behind those. Coming in behind you, guys. Press into the front. Thank you. You just to lift your hands. I want to pray over you as well. Then we're going to write the song. Father, I thank you. You're the God who doesn't allow us to stay victims. We're not victims of our circumstance. We're not victim of past mistakes. We're not victim of things people have done wrong to us. But God, today we are set free because you are the God of living hope. And Father, right now I pray that Father, that living hope is being poured out right now. That God, you're bringing hope. You're bringing hope, God. People have had dreams crushed, but God, you're going to allow them to dream again. Those who have had hearts broken, God, you're going to allow them to trust again. You're going to allow them to love again. You're going to allow them to forgive again. You're going to allow them to live again. Those who have had their spirits crushed by grief, God, you're going to allow them to smile through their tears again. And God, I pray right now, God, that you're the God of living hope, and you're pouring out that hope today. Set that fire alive in our life, God, as we rest on the God of our living hope.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more. Come on, tell him this.
I want more. I want
pray for you to close today. Can we just lift our hands one more time to him? Father, we thank you. Come on. Let's thank God. You're such a good God. God, you allow people to dream again. You allow hope to be restored. Father, I just feel that in this room today, there is another level being filled in our hope tanks, God. You're breaking through barriers, God. We've been afraid to dream. We've been afraid to trust. We've been afraid to believe. We've been afraid, God, thinking that what could be. Father, I pray right now that God, you're lifting that lid. And God, you're allowing hope to restore fresh vision. You're allowing hope to restore fresh dreams. You're allowing hope to restore healing. And God, I thank you today that you're pouring out the living hope in us, God. It's not dead, but hope is alive. May it be restored
And I speak it is restored to the fullest. In Jesus' name, we pray and say amen. Come on, put your hands together if you believe that this morning. Did you guys enjoy those stories? Didn't they just do a good job? One more time, give those guys a hand. We appreciate them very much opening up their lives. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon. You guys have a great rest of the day.